I'm reading from Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 11. Does not wisdom call? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence. Acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all, and it's just good to be, even in smaller numbers, we're still gathered together. And then those of you that are watching us on Facebook Live, I'm glad that you're here with us today. So let me ask you, are you ready? I mean, you're here, right? Are your ears open? Are your hearts ready? All right, because sometimes, you know, I notice even for myself, like, as Sarah was reading the passage of Scripture, do you remember what she read? I notice even for myself, like, I'm getting ready to come up here, and I notice about halfway through that I really had not heard a word that she had read. From the passage, because I was thinking about other things. And, you know, we can do that. It's easy to do that. And I don't say that for your condemnation. I say that as an invitation to kind of pause or arrest your mind and focus on what God might say to you and to me today. Amen? Because, you know, we could be out gardening or doing something else, but we all made the good choice to be here, both in the building and, again, for those that are with us via Facebook Live or those who will watch it later. So I just kind of wanted to instead of just kind of going through the motions and getting up here and starting to talk again, or just keep, you know, be the talking head just to get our attention. So most of us in this room, maybe not all of us, have all of you flown, or maybe, and there's those online, pretty much all of you flown in an airplane, been in an airport, okay? Well, when you're in an airport, there's something, you know, there's something about airports that the sights and sounds of airports are relatively the same almost no matter where you go. And one of the things that you hear many times is the final boarding announcement. It's one of those sounds that's, again, when you hear it, you know it. And if you're right in the gate area, you know, you don't usually hear the warning bell go off. But sometimes if you're further away, you'll hear like a ding, ding. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final boarding call for flight 1545 departing to Denver. Would all remaining passengers for this flight please report to gate D17? Very familiar call, right? The final boarding call. And you know that you or someone else, and I've actually had this happen to me as I'm frantically trying to get to a gate, you know that you're in a little bit of trouble when you hear the announcement just a little bit differently. You know, and a lot of times when you're not actually in the gate, it's kind of like this, you know, it's like, you know, you're this, doing this. You know, I mean, like, you know, you can't hardly hear it. But this, you know you're in trouble when you hear this. I'll do it clearly this time. This is the final boarding call for passengers Kelly and Sarah Coho, booked on flight 1545 to Denver. Please proceed to gate D17 immediately. The doors will be closing in 5 minutes. Now, when you hear that, you know you're in trouble, right? And you better get moving. And whatever, you better get to that gate or you're not going to get on the plane. And this passage here, in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 8 and 9, it's like the final boarding call before the book of Proverbs and gets into the actual wisdom sayings. So, and really the call is like, it's the final call that goes out, but in this case, you have a choice. So the call is going forth, but you have a choice. Which plane are you going to board? And really, if you choose one, which would be wisdom, then continue reading the book. Get on to that flight and read the rest of the book. But if you choose a different plane, the plane folly, you might as well stop reading right now because you don't want to hear what's going to follow. The plane of wisdom leads to life. The plane of folly leads to death. Which one are you going to get on? And for many of us, I would say that life is somewhat of a mixture. We seem to get on and off different planes all the time. We ride the plane of wisdom, and then we ride the plane of folly. But unfortunately, anytime we're riding the plane of folly, even as followers of Jesus, then we're inviting death, really, into our lives. So we really don't want to do that. But up to this point, we've been urged to choose wisdom in Proverbs. Choose wisdom. We've been urged to develop godly character and to walk in right relationship with God, which Proverbs makes clear, and I would encourage you to do more study about this, but makes clear that a right relationship with God begins with the fear, a proper understanding of what it means to fear Him. We have learned, again, that the fear of the Lord, which I just said, is the beginning of wisdom. We've been urged to seek after wisdom and that godly wisdom is attainable for those who are humble and seek after it. Are you with me? We have learned that we can also reject wisdom, godly character, and obedience and walk in rebellion to God's command. That is an option for everyone. And this is called folly, or the way of those who lack discipline. So that's what it's called. Folly, or the way of those who lack discipline, are those who choose to rebel against God. In the Psalms, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Folly. We have learned that we are faced with life choices each and every day. You and I are faced with choices that we make. Do I pursue wisdom, obedience, and purity, which leads to everlasting life? Or do I pursue immediate gratification and sensual pleasures outside of God's plan and end up broken and hurting? Come on now. That's your face with those decisions every day. But now we come to the final call. Chapters 8 and 9, before we go into the actual wisdom sayings, and the call comes from both wisdom and folly. You hear two boarding calls. Which one are you going to listen to, and which one are you going to follow or get on? So I'm going to just run through Proverbs 8 pretty quickly. So you just kind of put your seatbelts on. You jumped on the plane. And so in Proverbs 8, 1 through 21, we have for the second time now in Proverbs the personification of wisdom. We're also going to have the personification of folly, and Tony talked about the personification of wisdom folly more last week. But wisdom cries out here in Proverbs chapter 8 like a street preacher seeking hearers and followers. So let me just break these verses down for you quickly. I'm going to go ahead and read quite a few passages here and make very brief comments. But in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 8, wisdom is crying out to all of humanity. So the call is available for everyone. And this is what she says. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that lives. Sounds like a street preacher almost, doesn't it? Right out there, right where you're going to be walking by, and she is appealing to everyone to listen. In verse 6 through 11, she's also trying to make it clear that what she speaks of is noble and precious. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Wow. Pretty clear indication of the value of wisdom. The song we're going to sing after the message says, I love you more than gold or silver. Only you can really satisfy. And all these other things that are shiny objects that keep getting dangled before us throughout our lives do not compare to the value of attaining wisdom and understanding. In verses 12 through 16, and I won't even read this, but I'll tell you what, our nation could certainly use this. Wisdom declares that she gives righteous counsel to rulers, to leaders. And I would say, and I wouldn't just single out one, I think our entire leadership structure is severely lacking wisdom. And it's easy for me to say, right, to be critical, but I'm just telling you that wisdom is crying out, and we should be praying for our leaders that they would have wisdom and understanding. There is a great need for wisdom today. Amen. In verses 17 to 21, then, we learn that the fruit of wisdom is love, honor, and wealth to those who love her. And I'm just going to read the verses again. It's the word of God to us. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, endowing with wealth those who love me and filling their treasuries. So interesting, it's not a get rich quick, but there is something to be said for people who walk with wisdom and discipline as it comes even to their financial matters. And so much of America, by the way, is based on immediate gratification. And that's why we are so loaded down with debt and have an inability to even enjoy all the toys that we work so hard to buy and are still paying for. Are you with me? But wisdom is disciplined. Wisdom is prudent. Wisdom says, I can wait. It has discipline. And in the long-term scheme of things, then there is, even financially, it says it, then we will find riches if we walk in that way. Now, I know I moved quickly, but all of these set the stage for this final call that is coming. And I'm actually going to be skipping over a little section, but we'll come back to it before we end today. It's actually probably the most famous section of Proverbs 8 and 9 here. But now in chapter 9, wisdom and folly make one last appeal. Both of them are going to cry out, and I want to look at that here now. So the first person we hear from is wisdom. Wisdom, it says, has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. So that is the cry we hear from wisdom. There's a few more verses that follow, and I'll touch on them briefly in just a moment. But then the second person that takes the stage again is folly. And folly also makes an appeal to those who are going by. And it says this, the foolish woman is loud. She is ignorant and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. You who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But they do not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol or the grave. The personification of wisdom and folly, the appeal, the final boarding call, so to speak. Which plane will you get on? Let's take a few moments and just look at these two appeals just really quickly. First, I would like to look at how they are similar. They're similar in that both call out from houses situated in high places. In other words, they're both very prominent. Everyone can see them, wisdom and folly. Both begin with the same invitation. Let all who are simple come in here. Both invite their hearers to a meal. But we'll talk about the differences between those two meals. Both utilize proverbs. Wisdom states a series of proverbs after what I read just a few moments ago and ends with, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly only has one proverb, but it's very telling. Do you remember what it was? Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is delicious. The appeal of folly. But although they appear similar, there are also stark differences between the two. Let me just touch on that for a moment. First of all, wisdom is hardworking and generous. You notice that wisdom, it says that she built her house. She hewed out seven pillars. We're talking about being invited to essentially a mansion. Where folly is just loud and boisterous, you don't even know what you're getting invited into. She sits at her door, loud, undisciplined, and without knowledge. And by the way, wisdom has prepared a banquet. Wisdom offers you, now if you're a vegetarian, it's not a great offer, I guess, and I'm not making fun of vegetarians, but the idea is one of fullness. There's meat and wine and bread, and it's a full meal, where folly has just bread and water. And by the way, it's probably stolen. Because she just said, talked about stolen water is sweet and eating bread in secret is delicious. Wisdom calls out to those without sense, offering them wisdom, and folly calls out to those who are going straight on their way. So if you notice that, there's a little subtle difference between the call. They both call out to the simple, but wisdom calls out And to those without sense, saying, come and learn wisdom. Folly cries out to those who are actually on the straight way, trying to divert them off that straight path. Wisdom and folly. And don't you see this kind of playing out in life? I do. I don't know how well you're connecting with me or with the scripture about this, but I connect deeply with it. Because I've walked clearly the path of folly in my life. And I've also tried to walk the path of wisdom. And I've seen the fruit in my life of both. Wisdom offers a future, a call to maturity in life. Folly offers, and listen to this now, folly offers immediate pleasure of things enjoyed outside of God's intended boundaries and neglects to mention that these activities, while pleasurable, end in death. So the call has gone forth. Both wisdom and folly still call out today. This is the final boarding call. Which plane will you get on? And you may ask the question, why would anyone choose the way of folly and death? Why would anyone do that? Well, I was thinking about that. Why do we do that? And I see it over and over again. I see people that hear the invitation to pursue God, to pursue wisdom. I see them even taste a bit of that or start down that path. And then another voice comes and begins to speak and ring out, and it calls them aside. And they get off track and they lose their way. Why do people do that? I don't understand it. Why would people choose death over life? Why do we choose our addictions over life, over the goodness of God? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. The first one that I'm going to throw out is that wisdom requires discipline. Hello, do we still talk about discipline today? Wisdom requires a disciplined life, delayed gratification, which, what is the motto of the world? Get it all now, baby. You know, this is, you only go around once, you only live life once. That is what we are pressured into. We don't think about eternity. We don't think about the long, you know, that's why I love the book. I've mentioned it before, Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Love that. The title's worth buying the book. You know, it's just like a long obedience in the same direction. It requires also restraint, though. Delayed gratification and restraint. There is great pleasure and joy in wisdom, but the path there can be actually difficult. And a lot of people just aren't willing to do that. They're just not willing to pay the price for wisdom. You see, folly, on the other hand, seemingly offers pleasures and gratifications with no bounds. And let us be honest, the temptation for immediate pleasure and gratification is strong. Come on, anybody engaged in any kind of addiction whatsoever has to be painfully aware of the power of instant gratification and the challenge of discipline. It's hard. It's hard work. It's so much easier just to cave in and just experience the pleasure for the moment. But in the end, this brings death. Folly's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Before I conclude, I want to just look quickly at the section that I passed over. And again, I can't dive into it deeply because there's too much here, but I have one primary point I want to make by reading it. It's the section that reveals the antiquity of wisdom. And I'm just going to pull out a few verses from this section. It said, "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up." This is wisdom talking. "At the first, before the beginning of the earth, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." So this is wisdom talking again. And many here wonder if wisdom in Proverbs, especially chapter 8 and 9, wouldn't be Jesus himself. Even though wisdom is personified here as a woman, which we know God is neither male nor female, right? We're both made in the image of God, men and women. Some have wondered that, and I'm not here to engage in that particular debate. My question, my primary point in reading this passage to you is, why would we not listen to wisdom? Wisdom was there as God created the universe and established its boundaries and functions. Wisdom knows and understands how everything in the created order is supposed to work. It knows. Wisdom knows these things. Why would we not submit ourselves to wisdom? Not only that, but wisdom delights in you and me. So if this is Jesus, who is the epitome of all wisdom, it says that wisdom in Proverbs here says that it delighted in the human race. Wisdom, the personification, Jesus, whoever, delights in you. It wants what's best for you and for me. Folly, actually, which you could personify as the devil or whatever you want to do with that, it hates you. All it seeks is your death. Folly's express purpose is to pull you off the straight path. And it does so by offering immediate pleasures and gratifications that initially deliver on their promises, but in the end bring only heartache, pain, and death. Listen, sin is pleasurable, or you wouldn't do it. Sin is pleasurable. Come on. Nobody's willing to give me an amen on that one because you don't want to admit it. It is. Yeah, okay, yeah. You wouldn't do it. But it is pleasurable, but it brings death. There are some things that I obviously struggle with, and then there's things that I have been tempted to do, but when I look at the consequences, I just can't do it. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Do you hear the final call? Do you hear the appeal today again of wisdom and folly? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final boarding call for Flight Wisdom departing to heaven. Would all prospective passengers for this flight please repent of their folly and sin and move quickly towards wisdom, discipline, and obedience? Which plane are you going to get on? Which plane are you going to stay on? And maybe you get bumped off the flight, but wait and get back on. I appeal to you with all my heart. The choice is before us every day. The long-term benefits of choosing wisdom are worth it. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death. We're going to take communion today. I want to appeal to, my choice. I know most of you in this room, and I know that all of us are human beings who daily deal with choices that we have to make. Are we going to choose wisdom? Are we going to choose folly? And I know that the choice is often difficult. It's easy for me to rant and rave up here and carry on. I believe I'm speaking the truth. But my heart is not to condemn you or for you to feel condemned. My heart is for you to be challenged God to even help us to make wise choices, right? We can't, in a sense, it's not as easy as I've kind of put it out there, that you just wake up and every day, I'm going to choose wisdom today. That might be a good place to start, actually. But we need God. We need the wisdom of God expressed to us in Jesus Christ and the power of God to even make those choices. So trust me, I'm aware of the difficulty that we face on a day-to-day basis to make those choices. And for anyone listening or watching on Facebook, the Facebook Live on our feed, I maybe don't know all of you. And if there is anyone who has never surrendered, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, who is the essence of wisdom, the logos of God, the wisdom of God, manifested and given to us as we're going to be celebrating here in a few moments in communion, I urge you today, don't let another moment pass where you live according to the ways of folly, but that today you have the opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and to begin to pursue wisdom in your life and discipline and godly character, which in the end leads us to heaven, but even in this life will provide healing and wholeness, give us a better way to go. If you are tired of the short-lived gratification of sin, I urge you today, all you have to do is cry out to God and to turn away from folly and sin and give yourself with all your heart to Jesus. And you can do that now, even as we're taking communion. But Jesus came. You see, wisdom calls out. Wisdom is seen by all. Jesus came to earth to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is wisdom. And he offered up his body as a living sacrifice for us. It's an expression of the love of God that he delights in us as human beings. Even God submitted himself and walked in the way of wisdom. And the cross is like foolishness to many, but it is the wisdom of God. And we remember that Jesus loved us so much that he did die on a cross so that we would not have to die, so we could live. So remembering that, let's eat the bread together. His blood was also shed, something that makes no sense in the 21st century. I hear much criticism when it comes to the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. But again, what seems foolish or wrong to the world is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so we drink of the cup, thanking God for forgiveness and the opportunity that gives us to pursue wisdom in our lives. Let's drink together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your appeal. Done it through the scriptures. Hundreds of years before you ever came, you appealed to all of humanity to choose wisdom. Today we look back and we understand that wisdom to be manifested through Jesus Christ. And you continue to call out today, and we just respond with all of our heart, Lord. Forgive us for all the times, even as Christians, where we have chosen folly, where I have chosen folly, where I've chosen immediate gratification, where I have not been disciplined. Help me, Lord, I commit myself today to pursue wisdom. We want to be like that deer that pants for the water, Lord. That deer that longs for you.